I've titled my message today, According to Thy Word, The Law of the Lord is Perfect. Now, when you look in the Scriptures and you see that word law, you've got to see where it's talking about it and how it's used to see what meaning it has. There's the law, the Ten Commandments, called Moses' Law. And then there's the law that's called the ceremonial law, the keeping of days and feasts. And then there's the law that signifies the whole counsel of God, all the Word of God, the doctrine of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, not the Ten Commandments, so it is perfect. But the Ten Commandments don't convert the soul. The doctrine, the law of God, the Word of God, it converts the soul. Making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. And I'm going to, show you today several things according to His Word. And so let me start reading here, read down to verse 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So you see that walking in the law of the Lord, who walks in the Word of God. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, that walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts, the law, the Word, diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Oh, God, please direct me into Your Word to keep what You say. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. When you learn God and God teaches you how righteous He is and all of His judgments are right and true, then you praise Him. You bless Him. And that with righteousness of heart means that I understand. I understand. My heart is open before Him. And I keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. What's this? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. According to Thy Word. According to the wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? According to Thy Word. Let me tell you something about God. Everything He does, He always does it according to His Word. Never, ever acts contrary to His Word.
Amen.
Never. Always. That's why it's so important to know the Scriptures. You know, there's a saying, and I've learned this the hard way, when everything else fails, read the directions. When everything else fails, get the directions out and read them. Follow the directions. Whenever you, I don't know how many people's called us, say, how do we get there? You can't get there from here unless we give you the directions. You've got to have directions. And man, being the proud creature that he is, he despises the thoughts of not being able to figure it out for himself. To not being able to, well, surely as simple as this is, I can get it. But oh my, how much easier and simpler is life when we follow the directions. Takes all the frustration out of it. Aggravation out of it. And everything has directions. You can't get anything that don't have directions. You buy a bottle of medicine, tells you how to take it. The doctor, when you go to him, he gives you directions. Writes you a prescription. You take this four times a day for so many days. They give us maps. We got maps. Most of us have an atlas in our car, a map, a directions. We want directions. We want to find out where we're at and how to get to where we're going. And if this is so, we need these directions in the natural life, how much more should it be in our spiritual life? Follow the directions in the spiritual life. And the directions... Don't look to them up here, naturally. You'll go the wrong way every single time. If you lean to your own understanding, to your own carnal reasoning, you're going to go wrong. You're going to go wrong. Huh? And everything is sure to fail. Everything is sure to fail if you don't follow the Word of God. Huh? And this is an area where we must follow the instructions. And that's in the spiritual realm. If you don't do that, there's no hope for you. Ain't that right? If we don't do that, blessed are the undefiled who what? Who walk in the law of the Lord. Who walk in the Word of God. Who walk in the precepts of God. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Look over here in verse 89 of Psalm 119. Look what it says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, when John saw into heaven itself and he saw into glory, the angel came and handed him a little black book. And that little black book was the Word of God. Yeah. He says, take it and eat it. And he says, when you eat it, it'll be sweet to your taste. But digesting it is going to be tough. And then whatever you've eaten, whatever you've taken, you go and tell that. Nothing else. Hand him that little black book. Now look over here in verse 105. Verse 105 here in Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Oh my, lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't go out at night without having a light. Ain't that right? We live in a dark world. We've got to have some light for our feet so we'll stay in the right way, follow the right way. All right, let's look back over here in verse 9 of Psalm 119. Let me just deal with a few things according to His word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to do it? How can his way be clean? How can his way of thinking, his way of living, his way of walking, his way of feeling, his way of understanding, how can it be clean? How can it be clean? Well, he said this, by taking heed thereto, what? According to thy word. Huh? Taking heed according to thy word. And this is the starting place. This is the starting place. Being clean. You know, Job asked this question, how shall he be clean that's born of a woman? How are you going to be clean? How's your heart going to be clean? How's your soul going to be clean? How are your sins going to be cleansed? How's your understanding going to be cleansed? And here Job said, how then can he that's born of a woman be clean? And our ways must be cleansed. Our ways are the wrong ways. Man's ways are the wrong ways. A man told me the other day, he says, you know, said, I feel the life goes so much better for me that I pray, now that I pray. And I said, pray living in a fornication and praying. God ain't going to hear you pray when you're living in fornication. He needs his ways cleansed. God ain't going to... You see, that's what I'm talking about. People have this ways of thinking of God and their ways of thinking of being saved and their ways of how they can approach God and their ways of what it means to be a saved person. And their ways got to be cleansed. And how's it got to be cleansed? According to what God said.
Amen.
So whatever you think naturally, forget it because it's wrong. Anything you think about God before you convert it is wrong. Anything you think about yourself before you convert it is wrong. Any way you think about being saved before you convert it is wrong. How are you going to be made right? By the Word. And oh my, soul must have his ways cleansed. And that word cleanse there means transparent. His ways must be made transparent. Not a spot. Cleansed to where there's not a spot. Not a spot. Look with me in Psalm 51 just a moment. Not a spot. Now, where are we going to be cleansed where they ain't got a spot? There's only one person can do that. Only one way, and that's the blood of Christ. But look what David said here in Psalm 51. In verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. Now hyssop's what they take and they dipped it in the blood. And they sprinkle the blood with that hyssop. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. And that, like I said, that hyssop is what they dipped in the blood and sprinkled people with. And wash me. And I shall be what? Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Look down in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create it in me. Put it in me. And my heart is filthy. My heart is wretched. My heart is sinful. So, Lord, give me a cleanse my heart. Create in me a clean heart. You cannot create your clean heart. And He said, create it within me and renew a right spirit in me. Well, you don't have to. How is this going to happen? God's got to do it. Look back over Psalm 119 with me now. And that's what happens when a man takes heed according to your word. Say, oh, Lord, I want to know your word. I want to know your word. Look what the psalmist said here in verse 15 of Psalm 119 about this. He says, I will meditate in thy precepts, and watch this, have respect unto your ways. I'll respect what your ways are. I'll have respect unto what you say and the way you deal with things. Now let's look down verse 25, another thing according to his word. Where is a man going to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. Listen to what God's got to say. Get the scriptures, find out what God says. Now look down verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. So quicken me. Quicken me according to your word. You know the only people that need quickened is dead people. Dead people. What David is saying here, give me life. That word quicken means give me life. My soul cleaves to the dust. I come from the dust. I am dust. I'm frail as dust. Give me life. Give me life according to your word. Give me life by your word. You said in your word that it's the word that quickens. It's the word that gives life. It's the word by his own will that he begat us with the word of truth. So Lord, take your word and send your word and give me life from your word. And he says, my soul cleaves to the dust. When Abraham was praying about Sodom and Gomorrah and kept coming to God. And finally he says, who am I but dust and ashes? Who am I but dust and ashes? Should speak unto thee. But this generation thinks they walk up to God and say, hey, old buddy. Hey, old man. He's my friend. The good man above. My old friend. Oh, my soul. David said, I cleave to the dust. I'm going to get down here before you. I'm dust and I'm ashes. I come from the dust. I'm going back to the dust. And if you don't, between the dust and the dust, quicken me, I'm going to stay dust and die dust and be dust all the days of my life. If you don't, quicken me according to your word. Now you keep 119 and look over Psalm 103. You know, this is so important. That's why it's so important. That's why I keep telling people. A fellow told me the other day, you know, when he was young, said he went to a service and he says, they just would not let me alone till they got me to an altar. And says, man, I was willing to say or do anything to get out from under that pressure. And this is a grown man. He's my age now. And this hadn't been that many years ago. And he said, I just can't stand people pressing them and you know, just throwing their religion on you. And I said, well, you'll never have to worry about me doing that or anybody else doing that who knows God. I said, that buttonholing folks won't work. I said, you know what you got to do? You go hear the gospel. You go hear the scriptures preached. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not an altar that's the power of God. It's the Word of God that's the power of it. It's the Word of God that He begets us with, the Word of truth. The gospel is by what God begets He us. And you can go to every altar, cry every tear, until the gospel comes in power, until God thickens you according to His Word. You'll sit and loose, lost as a blind goose in a snowstorm until God saves you back. Now that's what I tell people all the time. I don't even tell them to come to church. I say, come, hear the gospel. Folks have been told all their life, go to church, come hear the gospel. Going to church ain't going to change you. Hearing the gospel's what will change you. Amen. The Word will change you. It's the Word that converts us. Say, go hear the gospel. And they'll say, why do you always say the gospel instead of going to church? Because folks want something to do. Come hear the gospel. Come hear the gospel. Look here in Psalm 103 in verse 13. Oh my. Listen now. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Why? For He knoweth our frame. Well, what's it like? He remembers that we're dust. So Lord, here I am, dust. Give me life. Give me life. Give me life. Oh, give me life according to Your Word. According to Your Word. Now look what else according to Your Word. Back over Psalm 119. Look in verse 28. Look at verse 28. Psalm 119. My soul melteth for heaviness. Melteth. That word melteth means drops. Strengthen me according unto Thy Word. My soul melteth for heaviness. All of us as believers have been through this. Drew Dietz in his bulletin this week wrote an incredible article about he was with his mother while her husband's dying, his stepdad. He'd been his stepdad for 30 years, so he considered him his father. And he sat out there for days, but he tried to pray and he couldn't pray. His soul was so heavy. His mother's heart was broken, his was. And he said, I couldn't pray, couldn't get anything out of the Scriptures. And then I began to think about the Word of God and what God promised me. And he said, when I began to think about the Word, he says, what he said was, my soul was so heavy. But he said, when I thought about the Word, that life started coming back.
Yes, sir.
Strength started coming back. Then I could see. Then I could get some hope. Then I had something to comfort somebody with. Couldn't even comfort myself. And that's what David said. My soul is melting, dropping for heaviness. How many things make our soul drop? Our children. Our health. Our brothers and sisters when they're in trouble. The church when things ain't going well. Our soul drops in. Sometimes God just puts it down. Just withdraws the light, withdraws the heat, withdraws the comfort. And our soul begins to drop down in heaviness. Heaviness. Paul said it in one place. He says, I'm distressed, but not in despair. I'm distressed, but I'm not without hope. And sometimes we're distressed and our soul melts in heaviness. But look what David says here now. Strengthen me. According to what? What you say. Your Word. Oh my. You keep Psalm 119. Let me show you a verse of Scripture. I've quoted this so many times and I love this verse of Scripture. Deuteronomy 33. I just dearly, dearly love this verse of Scripture. Deuteronomy 33. Man called me one day and says, I've heard you quote this verse of Scripture. Where is it at? Where is it at? And I told him, oh, my, strengthen me according to your word. Look what God says now. Deuteronomy 33:25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You don't need strength for tomorrow till tomorrow gets here. Ain't that right? If we could just learn that, we want strength. I want strength today, and then when tomorrow comes, I'll get strength for that day. Whatever my need be, that's exactly how much strength it'll take. That's exactly how much I'll get. That's why Paul says, yeah, he had an affliction. And he said, I asked the Lord three times to save me from this affliction, from Satan who sent to buffet me. I asked him three times. And on the third time, you know what the Lord said to him? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you say, how in the world did I get through that? I don't know how I got through that. I know how you got through it. His grace and His strength was made perfect in your weakness. When you watch people go through things, you see the Scriptures come alive and manifest themselves right while they're going through something. You see it, His strength, Christ's strength, made perfect in your weakness. When you can't do anything, He does it all. Without me, you can do nothing, He said. And all the Word is our strength. Quicken me. Give me, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your Word. You see, the strength is the Word. The Word is our food. And of all the things you need in this life, you need the Gospel. You need the Word of God regularly. Regularly. You can't live on it once every month or once every 2 or 3 months. You've got to have it regularly, consistently, faithfully, over and over and over. Thy Word was found, and I did eat them, and it was honey to my taste, is what Jeremiah said. You see, this is what we stand on. When all that, you know, I put that article in the bulletin by Don Fortner, when you search for evidences. And there's lots of things that we could say this, that, and the other. But when it's all said and done, the only evidence that we have is what this right here says. When you can't feel anything, you stand right here. When you can't understand anything, you stand right here. When you're laying on your deathbed, you can stand right here. When you're laying in the hospital, you can stay right here. You can say, oh, well, God said, according to His Word, well, I don't feel or I don't think. I don't care what we feel or think. It's what God said. Faith in God. Abraham believed God. We stand there. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. But what's going to stand? The Word. It ain't going to change when we get to glory. Only thing things going to change, we're going to change. We'll be able to keep it perfectly then. Not only we stand by it, but we stand by it. We stand by it. I mean, how do we stand day in and day out? We certainly don't stand in our own strength. We don't, certainly don't stand in our own ability. Certainly don't stand in our own understanding. How do we stand? By this right here. Huh? And I tell you what, and once we learned it, and God's taught it to us, we stand for it. We stand for it. And he was, a fellow was talking to us yesterday, and he said, and he, of course, he was just joking. He says, you know, he said, he was talking about something. He said, well, I just go along with it, you know, just to keep trouble down. He said, well, that's all right in some things, but not everything. But it's according to what you're agreeing to. Some things you agree with and some things you can't. Some things you can say, well, you can go along and get along. But when it comes to Scriptures, you can't go along.
Amen.
Huh? Can you? Can't do that. No. And that's why, beloved, My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me. Strengthen me. How? According to your word. According to what you promised in your word. And then look over here in verse 41. Oh, this is verse 41. Oh my, what a... Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to your word. Let thy mercies come. Let your mercies come. Don't let justice come. No. Don't let equality come. Don't treat me like you'll treat other people. And like you'll treat everyone else. Let thy mercies come. Let them come, your mercies. And over in verse 77, look over in verse 77. Let thy mercies come. Let thy tender mercies come unto me. Tender mercies. Not just mercies, but tender mercies. Mercies that come from your heart. Mercies that's been moved by the feelings of our infirmity. Mercies that can be touched. Let your tender mercies come unto me. Watch this. That I may live. I delight in your word. Oh, let your mercies come. Not only that, but even your salvation. It's the mercy of God that brings us salvation. Now you keep Psalm 119 and look over in Titus. Titus is that little bitty book, three chapters right before the book of Hebrews. Look with me in Titus chapter 3. You know, no wonder they saw that, Simon Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercies, hath begotten us again." And you know, one of the titles of God, one of the titles of our Lord is, He's called the Father of mercies. The Father, let your tender mercies. Let your tender mercies. He's the Father of mercies. Look what it said here in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. But after what? When we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, God who? Our Savior. God our Savior, not our free will our Savior, not our works our Savior. No. God our Savior toward man appeared. Watch this. And He appeared not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. His mercy, He saved us. He appeared to us as God our Savior in love and kindness, and not because we had any works. Not because our righteousness is ours, a filthy rag. According to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, sent the Word and washed our hearts and give us life and sent the Spirit into our hearts, the Holy Ghost, whereby we cry, Abba Father. And He shed His mercy and regeneration and kindness and love on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And all by Him we're justified.
Yeah.
By what? His grace. And then because of that, we're made heirs. Heirs. Oh, I'm going to inherit. I've already got the inheritance. What is it? Life. Eternal life. We're at in Christ. Oh, so let your mercy come. If God saves you, it'll be according to His mercy. Not by anything you've done. Not by any works. By any righteousness you ever done. There's no merit. No works to commend ourselves to God. Let me read you this while you turn back to Psalm 119. Let me read you something while you turn back to Psalm 119. Let your tender mercies come. And even your salvation come by your mercies. By His mercy He saved us. David said, have mercy upon me, O God. And oh, do it according to your loving kindness. I've got no merit. I've got no works. I've got no worth. According to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Yes, sir.
According to the multitude of your, blot them out. Blot them out. All right, let's go back over here now. Let your mercies come according to your word, and your salvation come according to your word. And according to His word, He saves us not by works, but by His mercy. By His mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What would you have? Lord, that you be merciful to me. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. All right, look down now with me in verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. And that word entreated means I prayed, I asked, I begged, I pleaded. And that word favor means your face. I entreated your face. I asked for you to look upon me. Cause your face to look towards me. Turn your eyes on me. Let me see. And I sought you with my, I entreated with my whole heart. So Lord, and I don't want you to face to shine on me because I've done something, but a merciful according to your word. Huh? Oh, look what he says in verse 59 here. He said, I thought on my ways, and when I did, my feet turned to your testimony. To your word. When I thought about me and my ways, I turned and went. That's why when I saw your face and I asked you to see your face, when you seek me, our Lord said, when you seek me with what? Your whole heart. Oh God, cause your face to shine upon us. Look toward me. I'm not fit that you should be in my, Lord, look on me. And the whole heart means having a single heart. Not a double-minded heart.
Amen.
A single heart. One purpose. One goal. One desire. And you know where God looks? He looks on the heart. Ain't you grateful that's where He looks? And that He's the only one that can see it?
Amen.
People say, boy, if you knew my heart. Oh, I know it. I know it. I know mine. And you and me and yours ain't any difference. But God looks on it. And oh, bless His holy name. He makes it fit where He can look on it. Let me show you that in Isaiah 66. You keep Psalm 119. Look in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 with me. Just a moment. You know, when you seek me with your whole heart, when you say, I've got to have you. I got to know you. I need you. Lord, would you look on me, which I seek your face. David said it in one place, Lord, you said, seek ye my face, and thy face I sought. To seek the face of somebody means to seek their favor, to seek their approval, to seek their pleasure, to seek their acceptance. And Lord, I ask you to please let me see your face. Let me know that I'm accepted. Let me know that you look on me. Let me know that you see me. Let you know that I'm yours and that you accept me and that I'm approved of you. And look what he says here in Isaiah 66 in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. God's speaking now. We say Isaiah, but God's speaking. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. The heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? Where am I going to dwell? If I dwell in the heavens, what world building can you get that hold me? Where can you fill me a throne that I can sit down and rest at if the heavens is my throne? Now watch this. For all those things hath my hand made. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But watch this. But this is the man that I'll look to. This is the man that I'll look. Even the him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at what? My word. Oh, God looks on the heart. And boy, I tell you, beloved, the sacrifices of God, you know what they are? A broken heart, a broken spirit. Oh, rebellion. You know, we have kids' spirits. You know, our spirit that way. You know, we have these rebellious spirits, these proud spirits, and these high-minded spirits, you know. God said, this is the man I'm going to look at. I'm this man I'm going to see. That man's whose spirit's broken. His spirit's right down. His spirit's broken. But to them, you know, it's like that little old fellow, that little old boy, they told him to sit down. Kept telling him, sit down. Finally, he sat down. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Well, that's the difference between God and Christ. You know, God puts us down on the inside, too. Don't he? Has he ever put you down on the inside?
Yeah,
boy. If he ever put you down on the inside, you're always scared to death trying to get back up on your own again. You just keep, Ain't that right? Not only is it a broken spirit, but a contrite heart. Having a contrite heart is a heart that don't trust in itself. It's contrition. It's a mourning. It's not a trusting in your own heart. It's having humility in your heart. It's contriteness. God says that man got a broken spirit. That man's got a contrite heart. That's the fella I'm looking at. That's the man I'm looking into. That's the man that I'm... My face is going to be turned toward that man. And where in the world do you get these broken heart, broken spirit? God's got to bring it. He'll bring it. And boy, what he does, he brings it. That's why he said, I thought on my ways. Proud heart. I turn to your testimony. Proud heart. Oh my, now look back over here with me again. Look with me again here. In verse 65. He says here, thou hast dealt well. Thou hast dealt well. Jesus hath done all things well. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. O Lord. How did he deal well? According to his word. Abraham believed God. How did God deal with him? According to his word. Made him a promise and kept it. According to your word. Huh? How well has God dealt with us? How well has he dealt with us? Well, how he's dealt with us, he's dealt well with us. And it's been according to his word.
Amen.
His word says that he dealt well with us before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He chose us in Christ before the foundation. That's well doing. That's dealing well with us. Making Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He dealt well with us according to his word. He dealt well with us when he sent his son into this world born of a virgin. He says, glory to God in the high on earth, peace and goodwill toward man. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Who is he? Christ the Lord. He dealt well with us when our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and as a man lived as our representative, faced the law in our room instead, obeyed God in our room instead, loved God in our room instead, loved his neighbor in our room instead. He lived his life as a righteous man, obedient under the law. And he was a righteous man without sin. As our representative, we was represented in Adam in the garden. And we was lost in Adam in the garden. And Christ come to be our representative on this earth in order to be our life and restore what we had lost in Adam. And oh, God dealt well with us as he sent Christ to be our representative. He dealt well with us. According to his word, when our Lord Jesus Christ died as our substitute, When he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. When the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. When he hung on that tree, and there, beloved, he had on him not his own sin, but the sin of his people. God dealt well with us. God dealt well with us. And he dealt well with us according to his word when Christ rose again. And he was raised for our justification. How do you know your sins are gone? Christ was raised. How do you know God's wrath not on you anymore? Christ was raised. How do you know that you're righteous in God's sight? Christ was raised.
Amen.
How do you know the law's been fulfilled? Christ is raised. How do you know you're going to be accepted of God? Christ is raised. And when I face God, my only justification is Christ Jesus the Lord. My only justification right now that I have no sin, that I'm accepted in God, that I have righteousness, is the Lord Jesus Christ in His empty tomb.
That's right. That's right.
Bless all. God, I'm holy and righteous. What justifies me saying that to God? Christ is raised. How can I say I'm accepted in the beloved? Lord, I'm accepted in the beloved. Christ is raised.
Bless the Lord.
I'm without sin. I'm without spot. I'm without blemish. How can I say that? Christ is raised. And oh, he dealt well with us. Oh my, how he dealt well with us. And then he dealt well with us when our Lord Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he ascended.
Yeah.
And sat down on the right hand of the Messenger on high. And what does he do there? He deals well with us when he makes intercession for us. Takes up our case. Takes up our cause. Satan comes to accuse us. Oh, this awful sin came to my mind the other day. And I said, oh God. Oh God. I said, God don't bring your sins to your mind.
No.
I said, oh Lord, please, please rebuke this thought. You've done forgiven me, but they're gone. And he arose. And when the Satan comes to accuse us, Christ says, Father, look at my wounds. Father, look at my side. Father, they trust me. Father, they have my righteousness. Father, they're in my covenant. Father, I pray for them.
Yeah.
And beloved, he takes care of every situation. Don't he? Oh my. And oh my, he will deal well with us when he says, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, guess what? You're going to be too. Oh my, bless his holy name. Let me show you one more and I'm through. Just one more. Down here, and I believe it's in, oh my, verse 116. He's dealt well with us. It's well with my soul. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Look here at Psalm 116. 119, verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and watch this now, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Uphold me. Uphold me. How? According to your word. According to your word. That I may live. That I may live day in and day out. And when I get to the end of the way, while here and at the end, that I'll not be brought to shame. I'll not be ashamed of the hope that you gave me. I'll not be ashamed of the life you gave me. And ain't this our cry daily? Lord, keep me. Lord, uphold me. Don't let me embarrass you. And don't let my hope be brought to shame. Do you know what a shame it would bring on Christ? And what a shame it would bring on me and on you if we was to fall away? If God didn't uphold us? If God didn't keep us, if he didn't make a stand, kept by the power of God. Where God says, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. Lord, uphold me that I may live every day and I'll not be ashamed of your hope. Do not be brought to where I shame you or be brought to shame myself of the hope that I have. Uphold me. Uphold me. Keep me. Huh? Now, I know this. We don't hold ourselves up. You see me doing this, trying to hold myself up. Can't be done. Can't be done. Not in this business of salvation. Can't be done.